The message you are about to hear is brought to you by Art Bradick. And now, Mr. Bradick.
Exodus 20 in verse 8, where it says, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy." And so God says to remember the Sabbath day. Why? Because he knew it would be so easy to forget it. Leo Shreven says this, "It's amazing that the only one of the Ten Commandments he said to remember, the whole world has forgotten." And how true it is. Certainly the vast majority of professing Christianity today have forgotten the Sabbath. But I say today, what about us? Have we forgotten it in our own way? Is it possible that we stop our work, we go to church, we hear sermons, we sing songs, and we think by that we are keeping the Sabbath holy? We think we've done our bit, as it were. But are we forgetting something when it comes to keeping the Sabbath? There's no question the Sabbath was made for man. But that doesn't mean it was made for us to do whatever we want with it. Doesn't mean that, does it? No, it's a unique time. It's a period of time that we spend with him. Think about it for a moment, the value of the Sabbath. To me, living in a world without the Sabbath would be like going to a park without trees. It would be like looking at a very beautiful woman who could never smile. It would be like going to a marvelous gardens, but there's no flowers. The Sabbath is unique in that it is a space in time. It is, in one sense, a sanctuary. And we can rest from the tyranny that the world and its schedules and its activities require of us. A sanctuary from that. So God has required us to be in the world, but not of the world. But isn't it a wonderful gift that one day we can come out of that world? And by coming out of that world, we can come out of it and we don't have to be at war with its pressures and with its stresses and with its trials and with its troubles. It's a wonderful gift, isn't it? It is a time to be refreshed, and it is a time to reflect on the kingdom of God. Let's go to Deuteronomy 5. Deuteronomy 5. So while the Sabbath was created for man, there's something sometimes that we forget about it. Wasn't created for us to do what we want. But there's more to just remembering the Sabbath. More to remembering it. We are to remember to keep it holy. Even in the church, I think we forget this part. We keep it. Yes, we do. The people who the army goes after in Revelation 12, they're keeping the commandments. They're keeping it. But 6,000 years ago, the Sabbath was set aside for man. He sanctified this day. And that means that he set it apart for a holy use. And we've got to remember that nothing makes this day holy that we do. That God made the time holy. And then it's our job to keep it that way. And that's why in Deuteronomy 5, it's actually worded slightly different to make sure no one makes this mistake. Deuteronomy 5, and in verse 12 says this, "Keep the Sabbath day to sanctify it as the Lord your God has commanded you." And so we don't just remember it. We have to keep it. We have to set it apart from all the other days. We have to set it apart from all the other activities that go on in our lives. And as that shadow begins to move, the shadow of night begins to move across our earth, there is something that God expects to happen. We are to turn our attention from our everyday carnal things. We are to turn our attention then to God and do that for 24 hours. We cut this day off from all other days and all other activities. We sever it from our work. We sever it from our play. We sever it from our bills. We sever it from our worries and we sever it from our fears. We don't have to think about any of the pressures and stresses. We can like throw a light switch and forget all of that pressure and let it go. It is a beautiful gift. It is to be like an island. That is, an island is cut away from the mainland. In this analogy I use, the mainland is the world, and the Sabbath is an island of relief away from that mainland, away from the world. Genesis 1. I think it's possible that this day was certainly part of recreation. We understand that the earth existed before. We understand that there was a great war in heaven and that Satan the devil was cast back down to the earth. And Jesus said, I saw him fall like lightning. And the creation shows the effects of the war. There's asteroids careening all out of control all around. There are moons smashed into powder that have become rings around planets. There are all kinds of things like dinosaurs buried instantly with food still in their mouth. But before making warm-blooded animals and before making human beings, God remade the creation. And the first thing he did was to bring back light. And then on the fourth day, he did something very interesting in verse 14. Genesis 1 and verse 14. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons, for days and for years. And so it's interesting here that the sun was set so that there would be a 24-hour day, a factor of 12, of course. The moon was set there so that there would be 12 months in every year. And this was to be for signs and for seasons. Now we know that the same word sign is used when speaking of the Sabbath. The Sabbath is God's sign. But what about seasons? I think it's interesting. God's sign is the Sabbath. Seasons is the Hebrew word maudah. And Strong's Concordance says this. It means an appointment, that is a fixed time or season, specifically a festival, conventionally a year by implication, an assembly as convened for a definite purpose. Technically, for the congregation, by extension, the place of meeting, a signal beforehand, an appointed sign, time, place of solemn assembly, congregation, set feast, appointed due season. And it mentions synagogue because, of course, the later translators were translating this after synagogues existed. But they understood the point, and that is seasons meant for holy day observance. God set the sun and the moon in place on that fourth day before he ever created a man for holy day observance because he intended it. That's why he later said the Sabbath was made for man. That sun goes around the whole earth, moon. We understand around the whole earth. Everybody sees it. Leviticus 23. It's for meetings. And that's why in Leviticus, we have a familiar scriptures about God's Sabbath, his holy days, and it speaks of them as being meetings. Leviticus 23 and verse 1. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to the children of Israel, and say unto them concerning the feasts of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocation, even these are my feasts. 6 days shall the work be done, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of rest, a holy convocation. You shall do no work therein. It is the Sabbath to the Lord in all your dwellings. Thus, the Sabbath is a separate time, and it was created to be a convocation with God. It's a time when we, you and I, assemble with him. Job 1, if you will. Job 1. I want to speculate now. I know it's sometimes dangerous to do that, but I want to go to Job 1, and I want to talk about meeting before God. I know it's speculation. But I believe the Sabbath then, you see, on that fourth day was also a part of the recreation of the earth. I think it was like the rest of the creation. It existed before, but was thrown out of kilter by the war in heaven. And the reasons I believe this are twofold. First, there's a duality in the Bible. The things on earth represent those things that are in heaven. So we see man is made in God's image. And the temple was made according to a pattern that was shown to Moses by God that it represented the heavenly. There's a first Adam that was on earth, and there's a second Adam, Jesus Christ, that's in heaven. So you see, there is this duality of the physical Israel, and later spiritual Israel. And so in this case, there's a statement made by Job I want to speculate on, if you'll let me this day. Notice this verse in verse 6, I believe it is. There was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also among them. And so there was a day when the angels came to present themselves before God. Well, what day was it? I believe it was a holy day. That is, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He changes not. And there's this duality between the physical and the spiritual. And so me, it makes sense that the angels would convoke and present themselves before God when God commands us to present ourselves before Him. You see my point? So I believe they do this on special days, and I think it's the same days that He gave us. So they present themselves before God on the Sabbath day. They assemble before Him, and they come before Him on that day, stopping what they're doing, and they go there, and I believe they sing and worship God in heaven while we worship Him on earth, and I believe God gives them a message that He's teaching. He never stops teaching. He never stops growing, and He never stops His people or His beings that are with Him and supporting Him from growing too. Exodus 16. It's so important to God that we keep this day unique and special and holy, that He gave a day preceding it for us to prepare. I want us to stop right now, and I want you to think about this for a second. Just think about this for a second. Do we remember the preparation day? Are we thinking about the Sabbath before it gets here? Or is it a last-minute scramble to get everything together in time to somehow gear up just in time before it comes? Is that what we're doing? It's not right, I think. How many of people in the Church of God, the greater Church of God today, prepare anything in advance? How many look forward to the Sabbath with its coming, and how many are getting ready? For this reason, we call it, and have called it in the past, the test command, Exodus 16. Exodus 16, then the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and shall gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they'll walk in my law or not." So they're to gather enough the sixth day so that they have enough for the Sabbath. What's the test in this? What's God trying to prove one way or another? Well, if you'll do this, it doesn't seem to make any sense to a human mind. I know you'll keep the rest of my law. That's the test commandment. That's how He's going to prove them if they'll keep His law or not. Now, we understand that God's holy days are prophetic. That is, they foreshadow things to come, not things that are done away. And so the Sabbath pictures God's 7,000-year rule on the earth, the kingdom of God. And it foreshadows that time of refreshing and rest when the curse that's on the earth and on mankind is going to be done away. It pictures all of that. The preparation day pictures something too, that we're to be preparing for that coming kingdom. So you understand my point. How much are we preparing for the kingdom day to day? How much thought do we give to it from time to time? It's a good question, isn't it? So do we want to somehow try to shift gears into high gear just as the kingdom's about to come? Do we want to have to scramble at the last moment to make it? And how important is it to be ready when He comes? I say this because of this. He comes to us every Sabbath, and we come and present ourselves before Him. It's our date with our future husband. Are we ready for that date? Or do we just simply, have we gotten used to it, and we take it for granted to some degree? Exodus 31. I believe that there's an undeniable connection between the day of preparation and the Sabbath, and our preparation for the kingdom. And I say this because in the way we prepare for the Sabbath, the way we keep the Sabbath is showing God something, isn't it? It's showing God something about us. And so he says that the Sabbath, this day that we keep, is a sign between him and his people. In chapter 31 and in verse 13, there's a familiar scripture for us where it says, "Speak also unto the children of Israel, saying, Truly my Sabbath you shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord that does sanctify you." And so the Sabbath is a sign. And we know what a sign is, don't we? It's something visible that you can see. And generally it's telling us the name of something, the name of a company, the name of a bank, or something like that. Sometimes it's telling us the direction we're supposed to go in. And sometimes it's warning us, isn't it? Danger ahead. So we know what a sign is. We know what a sign is. And God's sign is like that. There's an interesting aspect to his sign, however, and it's this. His sign is double-edged. There's a sign going in two different directions. This is an interesting aspect. So the sign tells us that he is the creator. And it's a sign of which God it is that we worship. And it is a sign that we are the people that believe in the God of the Bible. It's a sign telling us which way to go. That is, to seek the kingdom first, isn't it? That's what it's a sign. And it's telling us that keeping his commandments is the path to take in order to get to that goal that we have. But there is this other side to the Sabbath, and it's this. It's a sign to God. It is definitely a sign to God. Keeping the Sabbath tells God that we believe in him, and the way we keep the Sabbath shows him just to what degree are we devoted to him. Doesn't it? It shows him an awful lot. It's a reflection of how we're preparing for his kingdom. And so my question is this, have we forgotten that sign? What are we showing God? Back to Exodus 20. The question then becomes, how do we keep the Sabbath holy? How do we remember to keep it holy? Exodus 20. It's a time to put our burdens down. It's a time of rest. It says no servile work is to be done on this day, and that includes our entire family, and it includes anyone that would work for us, our employees. Even the animals are to have their rest, and the beasts of burden. And it includes any strangers who might live among us. If they're in our house, they should be keeping the Sabbath with us. Exodus 20 and verse 9. 6 days shall you labor and do all your work. And so it's telling us to work 6 days at whatever we want to do. There's a lot of latitude that God gives us. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall not do any work. You, nor your son, your daughter, your manservant, your maidservant, your cattle, or the stranger that's within your gates. So thus we realize that we're not to do any of our normal labor. So our job stops here. Causing others to work is wrong. I still remember a post in a forum that was a Church of God forum. And we were arguing about going out to restaurants on the Sabbath. And at this particular time, this one fellow was mocking my comments, and he said it was, you know, snowing the other Sabbath night, and I'm an electrician, and somebody's furnace went out, and I went there and I fixed that furnace, and I charged them double. I got double time for that. And I'm thinking, what are you thinking? You know, you understand my point, that the double time on that job could have paid for a motel. Or he could take them into his house. He could do anything to keep the Sabbath. He could call another electrician, which I have done when I worked in refrigeration. When Sabbath came, I called another company and said, come finish my job. I didn't make it. You understand my point? There is a way to keep God's Sabbath. But this man was bragging that he worked on the Sabbath and made double time, and he's a Church of God member. And I don't frankly understand this in any way. So anyway, he thought it was an ox in the ditch, but there's so many other things they could have done. And that's why I say the Sabbath is becoming a forgotten command. It's not a command that is remembered by everybody to keep it holy. That's the point. Oh, yes, we remember the Sabbath, but do we remember to keep it holy? And that's my issue today. Have we forgotten it? We know purchasing goods on this day is wrong, but we've forgotten this. Thousands of people in the Church of God go out and purchase food. They're going out to eat today, spending money and doing business on the Sabbath, even though Nehemiah says don't buy or sell on the Sabbath or the holy days. So we've forgotten this to keep it holy in this way. We're seeking our own pleasure is what we're doing, not keeping it holy and not keeping the Sabbath the way God intended, the way he wishes us to do. Let's go to Exodus 35 this time. This day is so important that God spoke of it when telling his people to build the tabernacle. He told them to bring their offerings of linens and fine clothings, and they brought gold and they brought silver and they brought onyx stone. But he reminded him of this one important point about the Sabbath beforehand. Exodus 35, beginning in verse 3. Well, let me just begin in verse 1. Moses gathered all the congregation of the children of Israel together. And he said unto them, these are the words which the Lord hath commanded that you should do them. 6 days shall work be done, but on the seventh day there shall be unto you a holy day, a Sabbath of rest of the Lord. Whoever does work therein shall be put to death. Then he continues, you shall kindle no fire throughout your habitations upon the Sabbath day. And Moses spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, this is the thing the Lord's commanded, saying, take from among you an offering unto the Lord. Whosoever is of a willing heart, let him bring in an offering to the Lord, gold and silver and brass and blue and purple and scarlet, fine linen and goat's hair and ram skins, dyed red, badger skins and oil for light, spices and onyx stones and all of this. And every wise-hearted man, it says in verse 10, among you shall come and make all that the Lord has commanded. And so he was going to have them make a tabernacle. But today I want you to think, a lot of people isolate this verse that's in there about creating a fire. They think they can't turn on a stove. They think they can't heat their house. They'll actually unplug their heaters or turn off their electricity. In Israel, they program the elevators to go every single floor so that you don't punch a button. Because if you punch a button, it makes a spark, and that's like a fire, and you're breaking the Sabbath command. And it's really interesting for the people that smoke, because the people that smoke there can't take out a lighter and go click. They can't strike a match because they think they're lighting a fire. So they go from person to person to person. They look for a person who has a cigarette lit so they can light it off of that cigarette. And some people will just keep one going. You know, they'll just light one after another in a chain in order to keep smoking because they think that this lighting a fire means we can't have a fire, like something is wrong with fire on the Sabbath day. But it isn't. It's talking about building the tabernacle. And it's telling the people, look, you're going to build my tabernacle, but don't make a fire on the Sabbath. Because he knew how people would think. People would think it's okay to work today because I'm doing the Lord's work. I'm doing this for him. I'm building his temple, right? And so therefore, it's okay for me to work. He knew they'd do that. So he put in there, don't build a fire. Don't do this. Don't do any commercial work on that day. But our church has forgotten this. Today, ministers fly places, and members fly places on the Sabbath. Ministers do this because they think they're doing God's work, so they're exempt, you see. And so they go to restaurants, and they buy gas for their cars, and they do all this stuff on the Sabbath, thinking it's okay because I'm doing God's work. Now look, he said the priests were blameless. They worked on the Sabbath, and they were blameless. But why were they blameless? They were blameless because they were keeping God's direct command regarding the sacrifices and the offerings. They weren't blameless if they went out to an inn and bought dinner and bought food for their mule. You understand the difference here? That we've twisted this. We've forgotten to keep it holy, and we've justified it, and we have forgotten this scripture. right here in Exodus and what it means and how we should apply it today. It's a forgotten commandment. So we've forgotten this aspect of it. So let's go to Isaiah 58, where God speaks a great deal about his Sabbath. He wants us to be careful in the way that we keep the day. And I don't want you to think that we're, you know, Pharisees, or may call them legalists now, a pejorative term they use when people say the Bible says this and the other people aren't doing it, you're a legalist or something. But you understand, we're not to do our own pleasure and not to seek our own hobbies and not to do our own thing and have our own entertainment on this day. But I think we've forgotten this in many of the churches of God. And so it says this in Isaiah 58 and verse 13. If you turn your foot away from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and calling the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord honorable, and shall honor him not doing your own ways, or finding your own pleasure, or speaking your own words. So what does it mean if you turn away your foot from the Sabbath? It means to watch where you're going. Watch where you're going. Think about what you're doing. Watch your step. Why? Because people are walking all over God's Sabbath. And he's saying, keep your foot. Watch where you're going on the Sabbath. Think about what you're doing. You're dirtying my Sabbath. In some places, I think we're like a bull in the china shop. Everybody's familiar with that. But the bull is insensitive. He doesn't know the value of the china. And so you put a bull in a china shop, and he's going to move around and turn and bump into tables and knock china over and step on the precious crystal and the beautiful china worth thousands of dollars. The bull will never even think about it, would he? Where he steps. What about us? Do we think about where we're stepping when it comes to God's Sabbath? Have we forgotten that it's holy? The Sabbath is more valuable than any precious gold, than any jewels. It is more valuable to us than anything else in this world. I believe that. So how do we step on the Sabbath? Well, we do it when we do our own pleasures and when we do our own desires. We all want to watch the ball game, right? It comes on the Sabbath. We want to check to see where our stocks are today. Maybe keep up on the news. We have a book we're reading. It's not the Bible, and maybe we want to keep reading that. There's a movie that starts just before the Sabbath is really over, and maybe we could just go a little early and go to that movie because we want to go see it. Visitors from out of town, we have to entertain them. And that kind of thing, those all occur to us in our head. They're things that go on in our head, our desires that we have. And what we do is sometimes we put those desires before God's command to keep the Sabbath holy. You know, I remember this, people would often say, well, it's okay to watch Animal Planet or Discovery because those are times when we're looking at God's creation. We're learning about God's creation. You know, that could be true. And maybe it could be a form of worship. On the other hand, I ask you to ask yourself, is it because we're bored and we just want to seek entertainment? I'm asking us to be honest today. What are we doing and why are we doing it? Are we keeping our foot and watching where we're stepping on the Sabbath day? So we're not to do our own pleasure. And we're not to be seeking entertainment. And if we do, we're stepping on God's Sabbath. And how about eating at restaurants, watching television, reading novels, and not looking forward to the Sabbath? See, it's not that we should mope around and have nothing to do and then call the Sabbath a delight. I remember reading a commentary on Isaiah 58, and the commentator said that we are to delight in its restrictions. We're to delight in its burdens. We're to delight in everything it stops us from doing. That's nonsense. We are to really delight in the Sabbath, really, not make it up or pretend. And the Sabbath is not about restrictions or burdens. It's about freedom, isn't it? It's about freedom from the restrictions. The job is restrictive. The world is restrictive. The bank is restrictive. The Sabbath isn't restrictive. It's a beautiful, beautiful gift. So instead of this, we should rejoice. We have a day off work. That's worth rejoicing about. A day when we don't have to shingle roofs, for example. We should rejoice that we have a day to be with our God. We should rejoice that we have time, more time to study, that we have more time to pray. We should rejoice in the truth that we have and that we learn. We should rejoice in the songs that we sing. And remember, we're acting out patterns and types in this life, aren't we? And so if the Sabbath is picturing the kingdom, you understand, you see the picture of us raised in the resurrection, standing before Jesus Christ, and he's leading us in song. Do you think he won't instruct us? Do you think this isn't all a type of us at the resurrection, sitting before him, praising, raising our voices, thrilled at what's happened? That's all a type. We do it every week. Do we remember what it's about? Do we remember what it's picturing, the resurrection and the kingdom of God and us with him, singing and worshiping him there on a magnificent sea of glass? So we should delight in the Sabbath's freedom. We should delight in its meaning, delight. And we will delight the closer we are to God. The more God is a part of our lives, the more that we're growing in our relationship, the more we feel tethered to him, and the more that we feel like we have his hand in our hand as we go through our work and our daily activities, and the more we include him in the decisions we make, the closer we're going to become to him, and the more we're going to delight in the Sabbath, and the more we're going to reject the world and its values and its standards. And that's what the Sabbath is about, is to come back and remember, oh yeah, this is the kingdom. Because we do get distracted by all those things in the world, don't we? And so we should delight in it. Well, let's strive to not misuse or abuse the Sabbath. Also tells us we're not to speak our own words. What does that mean? You only speak other people's words? How does this work? Can you only quote the Bible verses on the Sabbath? What does it mean? Of course, that's not what God's saying. The words here apply such things as advising others on what they should do to fix their job or prepare in advance or for pleasure, like making phone calls, for example, to see what's showing at the show tonight. You know, that is your own words, isn't it? That doesn't mean you can't tell people about what's going on in your life and converse in fellowship with one another freely. It's about talking about plans about what we need to do tomorrow. Plans about work or plans about play. And some of the people of God are forgetting this part of the commandment. Again, I remember I was in another church years ago in Los Angeles, and I remember there was a whole gang of people, and they were all up at the payphone making a call to see what time the picture was going to start. And so they wanted to know what time they had to be there. But it was during the Sabbath, and the show was starting during the Sabbath. But it was close, you know, it was close. But the point is, they're blurring the lines, aren't they? We drive down the street, and there's a double line. Well, we don't blur that line, because we know we get a ticket. But you understand, we shouldn't blur God's line either when it comes to keeping his Sabbath. So the thing that's interesting to me that I ask you again to think about this, that what we talk about, what's interesting, is that we are to come here and we are to talk to one another, talk about our lives and what's going on in our lives. But you know what's really valuable? Do you understand that all week long you go through your life and you are having trials and experiences and triumphs, and they all have lessons, don't they? Wouldn't it be wonderful if we came to services and we talked to one another about what we learned this week? Because I remember I heard of this story of a lady who asked somebody else, well, you know, what are you studying on the Sabbath? And she said, oh, I'm reading this novel this week about such and such and so and so. But you understand my point is that the Sabbath is to be time when we put that away and we turn to God and his way. And I would suggest, and we even have an open topic section of the Q&A. And you know what that's for? If anybody has a unique story to tell of overcoming or a comment to make about something they learned that week. But wouldn't it be wonderful if we told one another that? It's like, you know, at a convention of air conditioning men, we tell each other the secrets we learn about how to fix this or fix that or the problems they have. You know, that's what we should be doing here. It should be a little convention where we talk about how we overcome and how we get closer to God and lessons we've learned. And that's what I think we should be doing here in services. We can connect the things that happen to us to the Bible and to our lives. In verse 14, I think it's more important than we realize, because it says in this, in verse 14 of Isaiah 58, if you do this, then you'll delight yourself in the Lord. If you delight yourself in the Sabbath, you'll delight yourself in the Lord, and I'll cause you to ride on the high places of the earth and feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Yes, if we delight in the Sabbath, we will delight in God, and he will bless us. We'll be given various positions in the kingdom of God, ruling over this earth. And we'll receive the heritage of Jacob. We'll be spiritual Israel. We will be with him in the kingdom. And God has spoken it. You understand what that means? It's irreversible. This is going to happen. If anything is going to happen, this is going to happen. Because he said so. And he has the power to back it up. Malachi 3. I'm going to back up a little bit in my message back to the speaking. But I wanted to read that verse first. So Malachi 3, God actually talks about our conversation when we get together, when we meet. And he takes note of it. And he says this in verse 16. They that feared the Lord spoke often one to another, and the Lord hearkened it, and he heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and thought about his name. You see the point. He's really looking at us. What are we talking about? Is it about the fear of the Lord? Is it about his name, who he is, which he names himself, names for what his offices are and what he's like? The Almighty One, God our healer, and on it goes, you see. Do we talk about those things? Is that what's on our mind? Because he's looking at that and he's seeing who is. Who is talking about these things? Who is keeping the Sabbath and keeping their words? And he's going to reward them, is my point. He writes it down in a book, what we think and what we say to one another. And in verse 17, they shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels. And I'll spare them as a man spares his own son that serves him. That's who he'll spare at the end of the age, just before he comes. Can you imagine God calling us special jewels? That is such a beautiful concept. These are the things I care about most. This is my treasure. It's these people who think about my name and who speak of me. Imagine that. And then verse 18, finally, then you shall return, that is, after the resurrection takes place. And then they'll discern between the righteous and the wicked, and between him that served God and him that served him not. Hey, it's easy to look like you're doing the right thing. It's easy to look like I go to church, I keep the Sabbath. I do this, you know, I keep the holy day. Do you understand? There's things that God says to do, and we do them. And that's one thing, and that's right, and that's good. But my point is, what he's talking about is, you can't tell. Remember how Jesus talked about tares? There'd be tares within the group. They were there. They could say the right words. But where were they? And how did they live? That's what he wants to know. And that's what he's looking at. And that's why he's invisible. It's a beautiful plan, if you understand what I'm saying. And so my point is that people can't tell now. But after the resurrection, when we return, they'll be able to tell who served God and who did not. Let's go on to Psalm 89 here. Psalm 89. because of the hallowedness of the Sabbath, there is a certain formality in the way we handle our services. As you understand, we dress in our best and stuff, and we're respectful and we're orderly and things like that in the service that we hold. It's not just anything goes, anybody speaking out, like in some groups and so on. But I remember a phone call once. There was a fellow that was newer, and we were having a holy day, and he called me and said, "What should I wear?" And I said, "Well, wear the best you have." And he said, "Well, why? Who's going to be there?" I said, "God." He went, "Oh, I got it." You know, so it doesn't matter how valuable it is. You understand that God just told them, clean, you know, be clean, because I'm 3 days clean, wash your clothes, is what his issue was. But be presentable when you come before me. Psalm 89 and verse 7. God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints. This is the assembly of the saints. And he's greatly to be feared. Respected is what it means. Respected. We should stand in awe of our great God in the assembly of the saints, and to be had in reverence of all them that are about him. And so, in this context, we shouldn't walk all over his Sabbath. We should have reverence for him when we convoke together. And we should do lots of things, like there are plenty of things to do, like sing, for example. Plenty that we can do on this day. Preach the word of truth. We can visit the sick, pray for ourselves and for others. But the Sabbath is so unique in that it is a time that's uncluttered by the stresses and the problems and the trials and the tyranny of the urgent that occurs in our lives. And it's a time when we can distance ourselves from our own activities. Why? So that then we can see what God is doing instead of just what we're doing. It's a time to come out of the world. It's a time to stop our labor. And it's a time to let God work in us. So let's not forget the sacrifice that he gave for us so that we could one day be in the kingdom that this day represents. Each Friday night, let's give our offering to him. Let's remember the Sabbath. Remember it to keep it holy.
Thank you for listening, and we hope you found the message beneficial. If you would like to know more about the Eternal Church of God, we would like to hear from you. You may contact us at 1-800-723-6108. You may also visit our website at eternalcog.org. Once again, thanks for listening.